Okay, welcome back, everybody. It's really only one real Sunday before the Sunday of Parshas Nayach. Next Sunday is real. It's Rosh Hashanah, but I meant time for Hashir. Next one is Erev Yom Kippur. The next one is Sukkot. The next one is Simchas Torah. So today I'm not starting. We're up to the Halachas of Pshara in Beis Din, which is an interesting siman. But we're not going to do Shulchan Aruch today. I figured if I'm not doing Shulchan Aruch, I have to do at least an equally chashuv sefer. So instead of that, I took one of the Art Scroll books, definitely the finest book they ever published. And I tell people you can never rely on an English language book for halacha, except one. Those are the rabbis.
I guess there wasn't an issue of copyright
English. Yeah. Well, I guess so. I hope not. So I'd like to explain to you what I would like to deal with today. I had spoken about this in a different venue and found it's an area of halacha that people are oblivious to, and people in partnerships, business partnerships, whether they're actual practical partners in the normal sense of the word or investing partners, typically need to be aware of certain restrictions in their behavior. My father and uncle, Aleihem HaShalom, had a business b'shutfis, and I made sure they had a hetis k'klali. But they're Europeans. They never owed a penny to anybody. They didn't finance anything. They paid their bills ahead of time and carried no debt, which is not the business model for the 21st century. So I'd like to talk a little about the halachos of business partners. The handouts have the first couple of pages of the chapter, but it's impossible to talk about it without two hagdamas, which one of which is simple and the second is more complicated, and then we'll apply it to business partners. Hagdama number one is that it just like I'm not allowed to lend you money beribis for interest, a borrower is not allowed to reimburse a lender for interest he's paying a guy. For example, happens very often. A person says, look, I have a line of credit in the bank. I pay low interest. You're paying so much interest. I'll give you the money. Just reimburse me the interest that I'm paying the bank. So that's ribis d'oraisa. It's also why. Let's say I'm the person with a line of credit. So I'm borrowing money from Chase. I'm borrowing money from a guy and I'm paying them interest. No problem. Now I'm turning around and lending the money to my friend, the second yid. He doesn't owe the money to Chase. Chase doesn't owe him, doesn't owe his name. I'm the one that owes money to Chase. He owes money to me. I'm not allowed to charge him ribis for my loan to him. Although it seems like a very fair ribis. He's just reimbursing me my cost of getting the money. But it's still ribis. I'm still lending him money for interest. And therefore, there's no question in halacha that that's aser. Just because I borrowed beribis doesn't mean that I can lend beribis. I can hear. Oh, without? Yeah, all without that is coming. Now this is, it's a very common thing. Sometimes a child is borrowing money and a parent says, look, I have a CD in the bank. I'm getting through 4%. You're paying much more. So you give me what the bank is giving. Bank is giving me 4%. I'll give you the money. Just give me the 4% I would have got. So that's from Mr. Reiser. You're not allowed to lend somebody money for ribis. Just because you could lend it to a guy for ribis is not a heter for you to actually lend it to a Jew for ribis. To my son. Let me answer that as a second step. Because before that, some people assume that, let's say I borrow money from the bank. Let's say I'm able to get it at whatever, 4%. And then I lend it to my friend. I tell him, look, don't give me any interest. You pay the bank directly. You pay my loan to the bank directly, I'm not going to touch any money. So that's also ribis. If I lend you money, I say, don't pay me any ribis, just pay me electric bill. I'm not going to touch the money. You just pay me electric bill. That's ribis. When you pay my bills, that's ribis. So if I borrow money from a guy with interest, I owe the guy the interest. Now, if you're going to tell me, lend it to me, and you'll pay my bill to the guy, you're paying me. I'm never touching it, I'm never seeing it, but it doesn't matter. You're paying my bills. That's a problem.
Even though it's just mavriach esahari, when you're paying somebody else's
bills. It's not just mavriach esahari. It's a financial benefit. He's not just stopping someone from coming against me unjustly. Right, if he's mavriach zari, that somebody's coming against me unjustly, he's paying my bills. He's actually paying money that I legitimately owe. Right, so it's more than that. Now, what happens if I tell someone I'll lend you money, so I can't take ribis? Give the money instead to my son. So that's halacha and siman kuf samach right in the beginning of Hilchos Ribis, and Lamaisa, it's also awesome. If the recipient, the someone who's receiving it, has an obligation to me, so that's awesome as well. In other words, if the recipient is someone else, so that's the same type of iser. If the giver is someone else, it's mutter with one exception. It's generally mutter. In other words, let's say I want someone to lend my son money. I tell him, lend him money. He can't give you interest. I'll pay you to lend him money. Now, I'm not allowed to pay him ongoing interest. That's also for reasons that we'll see shortly. But I'm allowed to give him a one-time payment in order to get him to lend my son money. The halacha is, the interest aspect I'll get to shortly, but the halacha is that a third party giving benefit is not aser. An example of this is when I lend someone money on my credit card, and I get miles or I get points for it. So someone wants to borrow $10,000, I give him my credit card, I tell him, you have to buy merchandise, put it on my credit card, you owe me $10,000. Now I'm getting miles for it, I'm getting points for it. So the question is that mutter? I'll tell you something interesting. I have an old friend who gives a shiur in one of the high level, in a base medrash in an excellent yeshiva. We once, Eide Yichud together, Eide Kedush and Eide Yichud, so we're staying together. So he asked me the shaila. He asked me, if you lend money, you get points, is it mutter? So I told him, look, that you never learn Eisei Neshach, I understand. But you learn the first parak of Kedushin. Taisus on Vav Amid Beis there says that ribis from a third party to the lender is mutter. So Taisus in Kedushin. He said, no, we never get to Vav Amid Beis. That's what he told me. But and the truth is, when you learn Kedushin, it's not what you're focused on. It's a Taisus about ribis. But Taisus says that a third party could give ribis, again, with the exception of a continuing obligation, which I'll talk about. So, again, I want to start with two yesaidais, which are common errors. One is the idea that, sort of like it's a fair ribis, you're just reimbursing my interest expense. That's not a heter. It's not a heter just to reimburse my interest expense, and that's giving me money. When you pay my bills, you're really giving me money without handing it to me by paying my bills, and therefore that's something that's aser, and it's Ribbis Ksutza. If you make up in the first place to do it, it's really Ribbis Dereis. The second, yeah. Okay, so what about expenses to get the money? Paying my car fare to go get it, or if I take it out of an ATM and it costs me a couple of dollars to take it out. So the halach of expenses, interestingly, is in Cheshem Mishpat. It says that when I lend someone money and I want a document, I want an IOU, I want somebody to draft a document, that the borrower pays, unless the lender wants to, but the lender is doing the borrower a favor. The borrower pays the cost of the cipher, the cost of the lawyer to draw up the document. It's not ribis, it's part of the cost of the loan that you're allowed to. You're not giving me a gift. If I don't lend him the money, I don't have that expense. So that's good. Okay, so this is number one. This is the easier thing when you think about it. Again, even though money from a third party to me is really mutter, but money to reimburse my expenses, that's us. That's Aleph. Beis. Now this is more complicated, and you'll have to follow certain distinctions. When I guarantee a loan, it's fairly common. Children want to buy a house and they take a mortgage and their credit worthiness is not good enough. And the parents guarantee the loan. Today they want them to be co-borrowers. But let's talk about guarantors for a moment. Let's say you guarantee a loan. Guaranteeing a loan in practical terms is a problem. I'll explain what it says in Chazal, what it says in the Gemara. It's a sugya de Gemara, daf ayin, in Hilchas Ribbis, Nezel Neshech. And it says the following. You have to know, in halacha, there are two main types of ariv. A normal ariv is a guarantor, anachi arvena. I will guarantee him. The source of ariv, interestingly, is Taka from Reuven or Yehuda, who said, I'll take Binyamin, anachi arvenu, miyodi tibakshenu. That's Yehuda's lashon, anachi arvenu. I'll be the ariv. What is an ariv? So there's an ariv stam and an ariv kamlon. I'll explain. Ariv stam is the typical ariv in the days of Chazal. Someone, nothing to do with banks, Reuven's lending Shimon money, he asked me to guarantee it. A stam ariv, if I say I'll guarantee it, you can't come to me. You first have to go to him. Not only do you have to go to him and ask him, you have to pursue him in court also. You have to try to get your money out of him. You have to pursue him in Besdin and try to get money. If he defaults, if he either doesn't have the money or runs away, then the ariv becomes obligated. He has no obligation until... it's a secondary obligation. It's only after the borrower is unable to pay. In that case, it's mutter. You're allowed to be a guarantor. You're not doing anything. You're allowed to, with no question, you can be a guarantor for Yidden. But even if a Jew is borrowing from interest from a bank, I'm a stam ariv. So what am I? I'm nothing. I'm backing you up. You're the borrower. If you default, at that time, I'm going to have to pay the bank. I'll have to pay the bank your interest too. You borrowed $100,000, now you owe $110,000. So the default comes to me, I pay the $110,000 for you. I can get the whole $110,000 back. Because even though $10,000 is interest, but that's interest that you owe the bank. If I pay your bill, I can get the money back. I can't continue to accrue interest once I paid. Once I paid the bank, now you owe me $110,000. There's no interest, there's no penalties, no other payments that are made. However, something called an Arav Kablon. An Arav Kablon is someone who guarantees Kablon means he's makabel on himself to be just like the borrower. That means the lender can go to him or he can go to me. They can go to either one of us to collect the money. That's an Erev Kablon. Now, even if he's obligated to send them a letter, a bill, that's not called going after him. It means if the agreement says he doesn't have to pursue the other guy in court, he can come straight to me. That's called an Erev Kablon. An Erev Kablon is in a case where you're borrowing from a bank or a guy with interest, and I'm guaranteeing it as an Erev Kablon. So the Gemara doesn't say clearly. The Gemara says an Erev is Aser. And Rashi understands it's talking about an Erev Kablon, a Stam Erev is Mutter, and that an Erev Kablon, when the Erev is equal to the actual borrower as far as the bank is concerned, Rashi holds it's Aser. There's a Rashba that holds the Erev Kablon is Mutter. But the Shulchan Aruch passes like Rashi, and the Paiskim pass like Rashi, which is to say that if I'm an Erev Kablon, I'm not allowed to guarantee the loan. Now, many people have a very hard time with this. Remember, let's say my son is borrowing money from the bank to buy a house. And I'm signing to be a guarantor. Now, in today, everybody is responsible for the whole thing. Each person, each guarantor, or each the borrower and the guarantor, the bank can go after anybody for everything. They go after whoever it's easier to go after if they have to go to court. So jointly and severally. So here there is a problem of ribis. What kind of problem is it? My son is borrowing from the guy. I'm a guarantor. I'm never going to have to pay. I mean, if my son doesn't have money, I'll give him the money to pay. What am I going to do? I'm going to wait for the bank to come after me? It's never going to happen. So the din is this way. The din is that, truth, if they never come after me, if it's just a promise on paper, it's really not a problem. There is a problem by ribis, loisa simon olecha ribis. Now let us sign a document which calls for ribis. So to sign a document where I guarantee his loan is problematic. However, if someone already did it and they come to me, I tell them, look, you shouldn't have signed such a document, but once you did, just make sure you never pay. Once you pay, once the Erev Kablon pays, he becomes the borrower. In other words, what we're saying is that the lender is saying, you're a borrower. By guaranteeing it is an Erev Kablon, you're a borrower and it's an issue. So in the case where someone's a guarantor, not a co-borrower, but a guarantor, so once it's done, you just make sure it never comes to it, which Baruch Hashem is typically the case. Like I said, if it ever, God forbid, came to it, you might as well give your son the money and let him pay it rather than taking over the loan yourself. So. Not anymore. Remember Williamsburg Savings Bank? There were big mortgage people, and they always went after the properties. They owned a lot of property in New York. They always went over after the properties. They probably had some shtick where they got... Oh, okay, good. Non-recourse, you're right. I'm talking about non-recourse loans. You're right. I'm talking right now, it is a personal guarantee. And that's our discussion is totally with is a personal guarantee. And in that case, you're not supposed to be you're not supposed to guarantee a loan. If there, that's something called a mashkin taiv. A mashkin taiv, many paiskim hold a mashkin taiv is a heter, if they normally go after the property. What I'm told, I'm not in the business, but I'm told by people in the business, is that it's no longer that way. The bank, they prefer to go after, if a person has assets in the bank, they prefer to go after his assets rather than go through the whole business of selling the property. Okay.
Well, they do both. First they get the house, then they go after the guarantor.
I mean, first they take possession of the house, or they just put a lien on the house? Once they take possession of the house, then... And they take ownership?
If there's deficiency, yeah.
But once they take ownership, they can't go after the guarantor anymore. They can collect double?
That doesn't make them whole.
Okay. Oh, if it doesn't make them whole.
There's a deficiency.
If there's a deficiency, okay. Then it's a problem.
Was it looking, the guarantee is looked at as though the guarantor is lending the money to the guarantee party?
Right. If they collect from him... That means they're seeing him as a borrower. Now, in Svara, we can dispute it, but that's how it's explained by the Rishayim. His credit doesn't go down unless it goes down for a good reason. I guaranteed a bunch of my kids' mortgages, and now I'm doing another one, and it... As long as you pay, I don't know why would your credit go down if you pay on time every month? Oh, if you have too many loans, okay. Yes.
If the guarantor pays, he also pays the principal. So what's the limit? What's the value?
The guarantor pays the principal and the interest. No, if he doesn't plan to get it back from the borrower, there's no problem. I'm talking the case where he's paying it and... He's paying. What ended up happening is he's the borrower, and he lent it to his son. Now, if he's just giving it as a gift to his son, it's no problem. We're talking with a guarantee.
But he is, in effect, eventually, he's not going to get the money back. If you
can guarantee something and never get the money back, that's okay. That's perfectly okay. If you want to guarantee something and you say, if I ever pay, it could be a strict case, if I ever pay, you don't have to pay me back, then it's 100% mutter. There's no problem.
So the guarantor is planning to sue the borrower? Is that what you're saying?
You don't sue him. Usually...
To get the money from him.
You may have had some bad experiences, but normally, if I guarantee somebody and I pay the guarantee, I expect the borrower to reimburse me.
Well, then why did the bank come to me?
Because he has no money. If I expect him to, I hope he'll eventually reimburse me. Okay. Most people who pay a guarantee... It could be Chaloimis, I don't know. But they expect, I don't know if they expect, they pretend to expect to be paid back. You're right, if you guarantee something and you say, look, if I pay the guarantees, they'll send a kapara, it'll be fine. So very good, I know a lot of people that'll want to take you as a guarantor, you know. My father told me, if you lend people money, I mean, people don't have money, if you lend people don't have money, so don't expect to get it back. It's sometimes a person, there's no expectation. But I'm talking where with a normal, theoretically normal case where.
So if someone, I ask him to give me less than I pay the bank, less than the principal.
The whole principal you get back. And so the problem is only.
You get back, but that guy is from us, so I can't get back. So half of the principal would be okay. What do you do with
the whole principal is okay. You can get reimbursed.
The whole principal is not okay.
It is.
So
that's that principle. When you pay principal plus interest.
So
yes, I meant the amount you paid the bank that was the original principal. That's fine. Apart that's interest is not fine. How to calculate that? Machlokes Rav Moshe and others how to calculate it, but it's not. I'm not going to go into it at the moment. But however you calculate, I'm talking about a normal case where a guarantor pays, and now it turns into debt. From the borrower to the guarantor, which is
the borrower's standpoint, a person is really not allowed to take a loan if he doesn't know how he's going to pay it back. You shouldn't take a loan.
Yeah, if he tells the guarantor up front, I don't know how I'll ever pay this back, and it's okay. But you're not supposed to borrow money if you know you can't pay back. I like tell over the Rabbi Yaakov Meisa in the late 70s, 576, there was a big tumult about the mezuzahs, and I remember the little mezuzahs that were not only possible but totally fraudulent, and there was a big tumult. It was in Asifa, it was then in Muncie, and they spoke about the mezuzahs. So Rabbi Yaakov was the speaker, but they saved him for last, so everyone should stick around. He was already then 76, he was about close to 90 years old. Anyway, so there were four or five speakers, One speaker said that if anybody can't afford new mezuzahs, it's an expense. A person has a house, he needs 10 mezuzahs. It's an expense. So we have a gemach for anybody who wants to, who needs money for mezuzahs. That's what he said. Rabbi Yaakov got up to speak, and in his style, I wish I would have a recording of it. He said, I agree with everything that was said. I'm not going to repeat it. Except one thing I don't agree with. They said, if you don't have money for mezuzahs, there's a gemach. He said, if you don't have money, you're not mechayiv, and HaMitzvah says, Yaseh mechaymish min lechasov. So if you don't have the money, then if it's more mechaymish of your assets, or if you owe money, so he said, you're putz for mezuzah. You're not allowed to borrow money if you don't know where you're going to pay it back from. So have a house without mezuzahs. Better than to borrow from the gemach without knowing. Imagine that. I can imagine Yiddish shtub, right? No mezuzahs. It's like, you know, someone comes to take out the person's daughter, you know, he comes to the door, no mezuzah. He says, yeah, I have Rabbi Yaakov's heter. I'm not going to do much for the shidduch. Yeah. But as Rabbi Yaakov said, he said, it could be surrender. Okay, at any rate, so these hakdamas by themselves are significant, because it's a common mistake where people say, can we reimburse me my interest and pay them directly, or when someone's a guarantor. If someone's a guarantor, you're not allowed to sign up to be a guarantor in Arav Kablon, which is the way it is today. But the Eved, once someone did it, as long as it never comes to payment, it's really okay.
When this guarantor pays the bank, let's say the loan was $1,000. Now the amount is $1,500. So whatever they charge him, that part, giving the bank the extra money, is okay. So
I'll try to explain what the Rishonim say, the Andafayin. They say when you, with the bank lent $1,000 and has a $500 interest charge. So who's the borrower? You have an Arav Kablon. They're both equally borrowers. As long as the intended borrower pays back, we say he's the borrower in Shalom Yisrael. As soon as the guarantor pays back, we look at him as the borrower. He's paying $500 interest to the bank. That's not a problem. But now the intended borrower is going to pay the guarantor back the $1,500 if that's the case. If he's going to pay him back, but he only got $1,000. The original loan was for $1,000. So he received $1,000 and he's reimbursing him the $500 that he paid as interest. Reimbursing interest is awesome. That's where the problem comes in.
But if you don't expect any money back, let's say you can help the person out, you're paying his debt.
You're good.
Directly to the lender.
If you don't expect to get paid back, so it's tzedakah. So it's a tzedakah. You're allowed to pay someone's bills as a tzedakah, as long as you don't get it. A penalty? Certain penalties are certainly are not, but if you're paying his bill, you're allowed to pay someone's bill. He didn't lend you money. You're the guarantor. He didn't lend you money. You lent him money. Now, if you pay his... you're paying from the bank. Assuming it's his penalty. I don't know if it's his penalty or your penalty. If it's his penalty, then it's not a ribbis issue. If it's his interest, then it's a ribbis issue.
So it's...
I don't know how the banks work. When there's a penalty charge, the penalty is on the borrower or on the guarantor? I guess the guarantor is insuring the penalty too. If the guarantor... Okay, whether the penalty is or is not, it's not clear to me, but the interest is certainly a problem. Interest is a problem. The penalty, it depends, I guess, how it's structured. I'm not sure.
In a regular case, borrowing penalty is considered
interest or on? There are laws of penalties. A one-time penalty, is not a issa deraisa. It's not interest. Midrabanan, you're not allowed to charge a penalty for a loan, because the way of disguising interest, because I were afraid people would disguise interest as a penalty and get away with it. However, in Mekach u'Memkar, if you have, let's say, a tenant, and he has to pay, or you have a merchandise that needs to be paid for, so a one-time penalty, not an accruing penalty, a one-time penalty there is mutter, when it's ribis drabon, when it's ribis derech Mekach u'Memkar. It's just it's a little off topic, but that's the basic halach.
So is there an agreement between the borrower and the RA that the borrower would reimburse the RA for the ribis?
That's every guarantor, that's the agreement. The agreement is when the guarantor pays, the borrower has to reimburse the guarantor. So you can't sign it because Leisa Simon. Well, Leisa Simon is you can't sign a contract for ribis. Even if it never comes to it. Leisa Simon, the Sima's Aser. People's eyes come to me, they didn't realize it's Aser. They already did that, so that they did already. So you don't have to pull back the loan. The overall.
You're good.
Yes, signing is a problem. Okay, now how does this impact partners? This impacts partners in ways that they don't realize, and that's really what you have on your copies. Talk about regular personal loans that someone takes to invest in a business, business loans, and then individual loans where you already have two partners and each one takes loans. It's broken up very nicely, and it's written really, really well, I have to tell you. It's very, very clear. To me, it's funny, what a person writes himself always seems clearer. I go back to a sugya I learned 20 years ago, I pull out my notes. My notes, they come back to me quickly. I usually take a safer and look it up, but somehow a person's own notes, I don't know, is it because I wrote it so clearly or just because I have an Abba for my own notes, so I apply myself? I don't know. Yeah? Okay, a personal loan. Okay, business owned by Jewish partners. You have here two partners, personal loans. Two Jewish partners may take a joint loan from a bank or a non-Jewish individual and agree to pay ribis. However, when this is done, each partner may only be liable for half the loan. The loan agreement may not hold them jointly responsible for the entire loan. Now you have to apply the rules that I told you, and you'll see. If I'm a partner, somebody else and I own a business with Shutfis, and we need money for the bank, so we're 50-50 partners. And we borrow $1 million for the business. So we take $1 million, we put it into the business. Well, $500,000 is mine, $500,000 is his. All the assets of the business are 50-50, half mine, half his. So I'm receiving $1 million loan, $500,000 is my money, $500,000 is his money, it's in the business. So as long as I'm borrowing $500,000, he's borrowing $500,000, there's no problem. Every time Shutfim start a business, each one puts in, if they're 50-50 partners, each one puts in 50%. However, if I'm guaranteeing his half of the loan, that's a regular guarantor. What am I doing? We're getting $1 million loan, which Halacha says is $500,000 mine, $500,000 his. So I'm guaranteeing his loan from the bank. That goes back to what we discussed earlier about guaranteeing somebody else's loan that's awesome. So it says here, the loan agreement may not hold them jointly responsible for the entire loan. Now, what is mutter? What is mutter is when each one is only chayiv for half. Now, I'm assuming they're 50-50 partners. If they're 60-40 partners, so they take a loan 50-50, then that's not divided. If they're paying interest from the business on that, it's a problem. Because if I borrow 50%, you borrow 50%, and I own 60, you own 40, why am I taking a dollar from the business, just 60 cents is mine, 40 cents is yours, and I'm paying a loan which is only 50 cents is mine and 50 cents is yours? I'm paying 10 cents interest on your loan. If the agreement calls for that to take place, so in effect, I'm paying your loan. I'm liable for your loan. which is the equivalent of reimbursing someone his expenses for a loan.
We consider business
expense. So we'll discuss that shortly. But as far as the straight out the loan, assuming it's not a business loan, it's a personal loan, and they take it, that's the din. Now, sometimes you have investing partners. You could have, he owns 35%, he owns 35%, and 30% is silent partners who are not, they're not aware of what's going on. And the two 35% partners take a loan, and the investor partner has no liability on the loan. His document doesn't give him any liability beyond what he invested. So in that case, it could potentially be a problem as well, because the two part, I'm borrowing $1 million. 35% of that is mine, 35% is his, and 30% belongs to the investing partner, because this all belongs to the business, which is owned by the three of us. So I'm getting 35%, but I'm paying interest on 50%, which means I'm paying interest on what the bank loaned to him. So bank lent him money, and now I'm paying the interest that he for his loan, and that's fine to a problem, because it's his loan. Now, in all these cases, this is only true with his a personal guarantee. That's what we're talking about today. Where the borrowers have a personal guarantee on what's taking place. If there is no personal guarantee, Ramesh Shita is that it's mutl chatchila. When there's no personal guarantee, it doesn't have a din of a loan. It has a din of a loan to the entity that's borrowing it, not the loan to the individual. And there's no ribis unless the person is personally responsible. That's Ramesh Shita. In Eretz Yisrael, the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael disagree with Ramesh's Hatter. He's not the only one. The Marshag. Marshag was one of the Gedolim in Hungary, I believe, between the two wars. He was one of the Gedolim. He also wrote and published that a corporation is allowed to borrow, that there's no personal guarantee, it's mutter. The Michas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, has a tshuva about Ramesh's corporation heter, and he disagrees. But very importantly, he's maskim to Rav Moshe that the corporation heter makes an ois ribis deraisa. He's maskim Rav Moshe's logic that if there's no personal guarantee, it's not ribis deraisa. But he holds that it's ribis derabanan anyway.
That's a corporation
that's when a corporation is owned by two partners. You lend money to I'm not talking about a publicly traded corporation, a private corporation. Reiser's Bakery, it's a LLC. It's a corporation. So you lend money to the business. You have two partners. So the two partners each owns 50% of the business. They're borrowing money and paying back every dollar from the business they pay back is 50 cents his and 50 cents his. That's how they're paying back. So Ramesha holds that that's not called a loan to individuals, and Ribis only applies with his personal liability. Those who disagree hold, what's the difference? As long as the business has money, 50 cents of it is mine, 50 cents is yours. If I'm guaranteeing your half, so I'm guaranteeing you with my part of the business, and they hold that it's us. It's a limited amount of liability, but it is a limited liability. So those who argue with Rav Moshe hold that it's us. Rav Pami used to say about this heter, "Kedai hu Rav Moshe lismach alav b'dayraisa koshke b'drabanan." That's how he would phrase it. That the heter should be a good heter. When I worked on the book, I knew that if I rely on Ramesh all the time, that a lot of rabbanim are going to have kindness to me because there are those who don't hold it a heter. So whenever I bring it, I always note that there are those who disagree. However, we came upon a tshuvas rivash that seems to say Ramesh's heter. Rivash was the last generation of Rishayim in Spain. The Rivash was, I think, a Talmud of Muki Yosef, a Talmud of Iran, the Talmud of the Ritva, and the Ritva and the Rashba. So it's in the chain of the Spanish Gedalei Hadar. And we found, how do we find the Tshuva Sarivash? It's not something I read every night over dinner, because there's a Tshuva Sarivash quoted in the Beis Yosef. And he quotes half of the Tshuva, it got to be one topic. The other half of the Tshuva, the other portion of the Tshuva, I should say, has what seems to be Rav Moshe's Heter. So that's how I bumped into it, and I mentioned it once to Rav Shlomo Miller, who tells people not to be Samech Rav Moshe, that they're under corporation Heter. I said, it's a Rivash. So if I recall correctly, he said to me, yeah, but the Beis Yosef stopped quoting the Rivash at that point. Like, he quotes the first part of Rivash, not the other part. All right? You know, I can't read the mind of the Beis Yosef, why he quoted one half and not the other half. But anyway, it depends who you ask. I know there are many Paiskim who rely on it, and many Paiskim who don't. I know Rabbi Hill David, he should be well, always told people they could rely on Ramesh's Heter. And Rabbi Dovid Feinstein would say, no Shiloh. You know, people ask him, corporation, he wouldn't even get into it. Rabbi Dovid was a man of very few words. But very abrupt, but very, very few words. He would say, no problem. Why? He'd say, no problem. I once went with Rabbi Yitzchak Isby to Rabbi Dovid Feinstein to discuss a certain shy. What happened is Rabbi Isby went to Rabbi Dovid to discuss a certain complicated issue. So he came back to me. So Rabbi Isby says to me, Rabbi Dovid is a Talmid Chacham? I said, yeah. Are you sure? So what happened? So I asked him the Shaila, he said something. So I said, maybe the other way? He said, yeah, maybe. And he said, well, is it this way? It could be that way too. Like, you know, everything he said, he didn't argue with him. So it could be this way, it could be that way. I mean, that was the end of the discussion. He didn't get drawn. So I told him, David is always afraid of getting into controversies. Let's go together. It was an interesting topic. So I went with him after Shacharis, and we sat down in his office, and we talked for an hour about the Shiloh. It was a whole different setting. So David was a man of a very personal person. I happened to be an East Sider, a Lower East Sider, so once he, MTJ, made a dinner, he called me, he asked me to be an honoree. He said, "Bistachan an East Sider." He tells me, "You're an East Sider." I said, "Yeshkayach." So I was excited to have many opportunities with him. Anyway, having said that, Rav David certainly relied on Rav Moshe, in the literature world, for the most part, they rely on Rav Moshe. Rav Shlomo Miller is a Talmud of Rav Aaron, and he has a lot of chumris in ribbis that Rav Aaron had that. That he agreed, that he holds up. Yeah, okay.
Do we require Jewish corporations to close on Shabbos?
So I don't want to get into that. It's a legitimate topic, but it's too far off topic. Okay. So anyway, getting back here. So I'm talking with his personal liability, and so you can't co-sign for the other part in this portion of the loan. Number two, when your copies, one part that may not serve as a co-signer for the other part in this portion of the loan. Since the lender may choose to collect from the co-signer, the partner is in effect responsible for the entire loan. However, if the agreement requires the lender to pursue the borrower in court first, what's that called? That's a stam arif. Has to pursue the individual first. Then one partner may co-sign for the other. In footnote number 3, a Jew is permitted to serve as a guarantor when the terms of the loan require the lender to pursue the borrower before requesting payment from the guarantor. Yeredei, Abafersh and Halacha, that it's mutter, in parentheses, I describe, that's called an Arav Stam, as opposed to an Arav Shleif Deitz. Now, in the footnote, it says a notable exception. I mentioned at the outset that there's a Machlekes Rashi in the Rashba in the first place, if an Arav Kablan is Asur or not. Now, Shulchan Aruch Pastins like Rashi, and then an Arav Kablan to be a co-signer and jointly responsible is an issue. Meram Shik and Avnei Nezer, they defend the practice. In other words, they don't say it's a wonderful thing to do, but they say that people are being semech on the Rashba, and with whatever tzuru from Deyed, that it's okay. So like once it's done, it's done, but it shouldn't be done further. Now, that's a business loan. What about an individual loan?
What should you keep there?
When you take a business loan and you have personal liability for the entire loan, that's called an Ariv Kamblin. No, the other one, that's Arif Stam. If the other one has to be pursued in court first, or even if they have pursued the company first, then it's okay, because when they pursue the company, it's 50-50. But if they're not required to pursue the company in court, they can just go directly, that's the only case where it's a problem. So that's where the problem is. If one partner pays the whole thing and he's Michael, his partner, no problem. The problem is when he pays the loan, he's taking on the role of a borrower on the whole loan, and now he lent it to his partner can't pay ribbis to him. Yeah. He can pay him the principal, but not the ribbis.
So point of advice, that this is not an LLC, but if it's not an LLC,
I think, I'm not in the business world, but they always require personal guarantees. I think that typically they do. Typically they do. One of the major events in my Ribbis career happened a couple of summers ago where a group was taking a $500 million loan. They were buying a whole slew of nursing homes. They're from a different city. And they were supposed to go to closing the next day, and they found out the lenders are Jewish. It was a non-public company. They really had no way of knowing. I think at that time it was called, the name changed. I think it was called Congressional Bank, which today has a different name. Everything changes names so quickly today. It's like everyone's hiding from the government. I don't know. But they found out it's Jewish. And so the... It was a whole bunch of people ready to make money, so they made. But they were afraid someone would give them a heter, and 2 years later they'll find out. Oh, that's his heter. Nobody agrees with it. So they made a bezdin. They made myself, Rav Chaim Cohn, who's a much bigger expert than I am, and Rav Zev Cohn from Chicago. The three of us. If we say it's good, they'll do it. And we spoke to the bank. They started very stark. No way, we're not doing that to Iska, nothing doing. Take it or leave it. They're talking very tough. So the whole tune changed because they said that no way they're going to leave it. They're so invested in it. But when they called the borrowers and said, nothing doing, you speak to the rabbis. If the rabbis don't say no, then it's off. So the next day, like they sang a whole different song. So the next day, they said, oh, we're not really Jewish. Or, you know, like they had all kinds of... Till then, they were Jewish. And now, but online, it shows the owners that Jewish. No, no, since then, we made an offering. We did this, we did that. So we held out. One of the borrowers, the Jewish borrowers, told me, there's no way this lady is going to let it fall. I said, why? He says, she gets a quarter of a point at closing, which is a few dollars on $500 million. It's, it's like over $1 million. There's no way she's going to let it fall. So at the end, what they did is they allowed no personal guarantees, but the properties, it was nursing homes, the properties were used to guarantee. They made a tenai that the borrowers can't tell anyone that they did it. They never said the rabbis can't tell anyone, but so the borrowers can't tell anyone, and they went ahead with it. And I'm sure that I hope the loan didn't default. I don't think it did, and everyone lived happily ever after. But my point is that the Ramosha Heter comes in handy when it's a crunch time. If you have enough assets that satisfy the lender, even though they really don't want to do it, but that's what happens. Now, individual loan. Now, this happens sometimes in a regular business. I'm talking a regular, mom and pop. They own a couple of restaurants. They own a bakery. They own something b'shutzus. You're running a business. What typically happens is that someone takes out a credit card, for the business. And, you know, not busy with the two partners. He takes out of business and he signs on it. So he takes out a credit card on the business name and he's totally liable for it. So it's a ribbis problem that people don't realize. He goes and he buys whatever it is. He buys toilet paper for the business. Whatever, it doesn't matter what he's buying. He buys things. Now, if there's no interest, so there's no problem. You know, I'm sure my father and uncle paid their credit card every month before there was interest. That was the way they were. So that's old-fashioned. And shine. However, if there is interest, you have a problem again. Because one person borrowed, and he wants to pay from the business for the interest, but the loan was to both of them. Now, at first glance, and in Pashtus, it's a problem. You'll see an exception. Okay, one of the partners takes a personal loan and invests the funds in the business. He may not use business funds to pay interest on the loan. Only the principal may be repaid by the business. Then you can only pay the principal. Of course, he could pay back, but not more. Now, on the next page is an exception, which is discussed by Manny Paiskin. An exception to this prohibition. Sometimes a business has two owners, but only one is an active partner who manages the business. In this situation, the managing partner is permitted to take a personal loan from a non-Jew for use in the business and to repay it with interest from business funds. In other words, he's charged with creating expenses for the business. Someone asked me earlier, when is it a business expense and when is it interest? Business expenses, well, if you have two partners and they're both running it, so they're taking it on jointly. When you have an investing partner and a managing partner, the managing partner, it takes on expenses. When you run a business, that's what always happens. He hires people and he may rent vehicles. He does a lot of things that create business expenses. So the shita that's being quoted here, it's called the heter of the Taz. The Taz's heter is when there's an active partner and a silent partner, that the active partner is allowed to create expenses in the running of the business. That doesn't mean buying the business in the first place, but it means in the running of the business, you have to buy things for the business that's heter. Now there is a dispute regarding the extent of this kula, of this leniency. Some place can permit the borrower to pay the interest from any business funds, even drawing on capital. Other place can hold that the borrower may pay the interest only from profits that are generated after the loan is received. So it's a bit of a technical question. Hopefully, the business has profits that are generated later. It's a business expense. Then it's mutter. So in the footnote number 6, I bring that it's the Taz's heter. Taz explains when a managing partner takes funds from a non-Jew for use in the business, it's considered an investment rather than a loan because the non-Jew's money are being used to generate profits for the business. Thus, when interest is paid to the lender, it's considered a business expense, not interest, and is permitted. Now, the explanation of this in the Lumdis is slightly complicated. It leads to the machloikis if you can use capital to prepay or only profits which come later, but lemaisa, it's a heta one way or the other. Now, having said all this, ideally, when you have business partners, you should have a heteriska. Now, what are you going to do a heteriska? Every time you use a credit card to buy something, you're going to whip out a heteriska and do it again. It's very hard. If you have a line of credit, every time you pull money, you're going to do a heteriska.
If you have a
business
credit card, that doesn't make a difference?
The business credit card is fine as long as it's not one person is liable for the whole thing.
So that would be way around the problem.
If such a thing exists, yeah. Right. If you don't both guarantee the whole thing, I don't know if there's such a thing. If it exists. There's something called the Hetiska Klali. The Hetiska Klali is an overall heteriska. When two people are in business together, they really should have a heteriska klali, unless it's totally a corporation and there's no liability, no personal liability at all. Personal liability for criminal activity is not personal liability. Personal liability means for financial, normal financial dealings. And there's no personal liability, so you can be samach Rav Moshe in these cases. When it's serif of the Rashba, you could always be samach. However, where there is personal liability, you use a het iska klali. A het iska klali is a general het iska, and typically starts the following. We, the two partners, or ten partners, whatever it is, hereby declare all monies advanced in the course of business for purchasing or for payments, for goods, for services, for real estate, for any purpose whatsoever, whether personal loans or via loans received from outside lenders, including mortgage loans, which are guaranteed by one of us or by all of us, or a loan to one of us and then advanced to the other for the purchase, or loan to all of us, to try to cover everything, in whatever form, are advanced in accordance with that. The rest is stating that. And then the rest of it is more or less a typical hete iska form. Now, a typical hete iska form, you fill in the amount. If I lend you money, I fill in the amount, I fill in the payment. The hete iska klali doesn't have the amount filled in. It's a general hete iska. And the hete iska klali, it works. People have to be aware that it exists. And it works. In Eretz Yisrael, virtually all the banks, maybe all the banks, have a het iska klali because of the fact that a large part of Eretz Yisrael is busy paying overdraft interest, a lot of the time. Overdraft is the piggy bank in Eretz Yisrael. But, so they have a het iska klali. It's interesting, in the Bris Yehuda of Bloy, Rav Bloy, the big expert in Ribbis, the big expert in Chayshim Mishpat, they say, and it seems to be true, that he worked in a bank. You know, so he sat and learned for whatever rest of 20 years, and they got a job in a bank. He was working in a bank. And whenever Rabbanim had Ribbis Shailas, like the banker knew more than them. So eventually, they pulled him out of the bank, and they made him dine on the Badats. And he wrote Bris Yehuda. That was his first big sefer, which is like an encyclopedia on Hilchis Ribbis, and he knows all the banking laws of the year 2000 or 1990s. He wrote all about different banking laws, and he became the big expert in this. Later, he wrote Pischei Chayshin, which is on virtually all of Chayshin Mishpat. It's an incredible sefer. Dayanim use it all the time. So he writes that since every bank has bylaws, and every complicated corporation certainly has bylaws, having a het iska klali is okay. It's part of the bylaws, and it doesn't have to be explained every time. Nevertheless, when you have Quicken Loans has a het iska klali, they don't have an individual het iska. FM Loans is willing now, it's a competition, FM Loans is willing to give a het iska prati to individual borrowers. Quicken is not. Quicken has a het iska klali, but they're willing to put into the contract on request that this is subject to the het iska. And the het iska klali, it works. It's klali. It covers everything done in the type of business. It's fascinating that the state of Israel for Israeli bonds is not Simach and Rav Moshe. And they have a het iska as well. When you buy Israeli bonds, it's fascinating that the government has a het iska that when you invest in Israeli bonds, you're buying into anything profitable that the government owns. You're investing in the state of Israel. So, there's no difference. If there's personal liability, it doesn't matter if it's not for profit. If it's for profit, but not making profit, all these cases. As long as you're guaranteeing a loan for another person, it's an issue. If it's stuck, it's certain ribbis to Rabban and his mutter for tzachit stuck. What? Stuck is not a person, except when it's a person. There's a fellow who comes around collecting for his soup kitchen in Yerushalayim. Once I asked him, this goes back 15 years ago, I asked him, soup kitchen in Gula? Who comes into a soup kitchen in Gula? So Moshe Sasowski was walking by. Oh, Moshe, come, tell him. Do I have a food pantry? I said, yeah. I said, how do you know? He says he stands outside every day. He begs all the guys from Brisk to come in and eat. He said, he called me in to eat all the time. The food is good. So I went in to eat. I said, why are you collecting tzedakah? I'm not collecting tzedakah. He just tells people to go. So finally, the guy tells me, I'll tell you the truth. He tells me, I have a big family. I have a son. I have a couple of sons-in-law. So one of them is the cook. One of them is the bookkeeper. One of them is the waiter. And they all have salaries. So he goes around collecting for the soup kitchen because... So whether Aniyim eat the food or the brisk guys eat the food, he's happy either way. His purpose is to collect. So it's... You got to be very careful with the, you know, when the city of learning, it's a halbitzara, when there are other things. So some tzedakis are tzedakis, and some tzedakis are, maybe it's also a tzedakah, I don't know. That's a different type of stuff. Okay, with all that, I want to wish everyone a ksiva sima taiva, good kaben shiar, and Yitzhak Hashem will learn the Chesha Mishpat when we return Sunday, Parshas Noach, Be'ezus Hashem.